The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Oh, there goes the Davehood. Welcome, everybody, to Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, comedy, and music on this Thursday, October 21st, 2004, an episode called Ruffle and Hum. Folks who've been tuning in the past couple of weeks know that I had a wonderful chat with Neil Innes. He's an English singer-songwriter, very clever, very funny, very musical, and also best known for his work with the members of Monty Python's Flying Circus. He met them when they were doing a precursor, Do Not Adjust Your Set, and then became part of their Satellite Players. Kind of like how the Not Ready for Prime Time Players has its main cast, and then a utility crew for smaller roles. Well, Neil's career started with a Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, and just as that was finishing, Python came along. And in fact, when John Cleese left the troupe before their last season, Innes became even more prominent. And as he mentioned last week on this show, and I had no idea, Innes wrote one of my all-time favorite Python sketches, The Most Awful Family in Great Britain Contest. That's the one with Graham dressed up like the party girl daughter shrieking at her mother, played by Eric Idle. Meanwhile, the mother is ironing the cat. The father, played by Terry Jones, is eating a laxative cereal called Anal Wheat with a big word POW on the front of the box. And most magnificently of all, Terry Gilliam, in a schoolboy's uniform puffed out as a fat suit, lying on the couch eating bowl after bowl of baked beans. It really was one of the great, chaotic, absurdist moments of Python, and I was thrilled to learn that Neil Innes thought of it, had a hand in writing it, and it was also a delight to actually see Neil perform 2 weeks back at B.B. King's Blues Club in Manhattan. He came on solo and did an hour-and-a-half career retrospective, starting with The Urban Spaceman, going through Bonzo and the Australian Bruce song from Python, and The Ballad of Sir Robin, that magnificent minstrel song of heroic cowardice. The neat thing about Neil is that it was a funny show. Most of the songs were humorous, and he was constantly making little asides and enjoying the lighter aspects of his autobiography. But he was never mean-spirited. And it's rare to find that in his music, too. He's a spiritual person who thumbs his nose at authority, as all artists do in some way. But mostly he flips the bird to mass media, to the dumbing down and homogenization of our culture, of sitting in front of TVs and computers for hours on end, instead of taking some of that time to go out and be with people. And while I don't mind mean-spirited humor, so long as it's funny, I engage in it myself sometimes. And while I don't count radio among the evils of mass media, well, except Clear Channel, it is kind of nice to have a different, gentle attitude. And Neil seems like a legitimately decent chap. You get that from his music, you get that from his persona on stage, and I certainly got it from the chat I had with him a couple of weeks ago. It was supposed to last 20 minutes. Instead, we talked for more than an hour, and most of it was so good, it seemed sinful to chop it down to one segment. So I've been playing pretty much all of it, and the third and final part is tonight. And in some ways, it's the part most people have been waiting for, because as big as Neil's fan base was for Bonzo, and as fondly remembered as he was for his work with Python, his most recognizable and cherished sojourn seems to have been in the Ruffles. There was a sizable crowd to see him at B.B. King's last week, and his biggest applause came for his Ruffles medley, which included I Must Be in Love, Double Back Alley, and, of course, Cheese and Onions. Now, this Ruffles mania is a pretty amazing thing, considering the original TV special aired back in 1978, and maybe once or twice in repeats after that. It wasn't a series or a movie or any kind of phenomenon beyond the CD and this one-shot mockumentary, which, by the way, came half a decade before This Is Spinal Tap. But it made such an impression, both in the gags and the songs, But a quarter century later, fans are still coming out of the woodwork to sing along, laugh at the jokes they know, and to hail Neil Innes for his cleverness and real musical artistry. So tonight, on Dave's Gone By, part three of my Innes interview, The Ruttles and Beyond. Plus, we'll also have our weekly Inside Broadway segment, letting you know what's happening on the Great White Way, thanks to our sponsor, Total Theater. So on we go to this 98th edition of Dave's Gone By, brought to you by two wonderful establishments in Hewlett, Long Island, Quiznos of Hewlett and Hewlett Minuteman Press. Great eating, fine printing, each across the street from the other. And if you're on a street where Dave's Gone By doesn't come in so hot on the radio, now that the weather's changing and it's getting darker earlier, the signal can get a little cruddy in places where it was clear all winter. No worries. Just go to my website, davesgoneby.com, and listen to us on the internet, live audio streaming, davesgoneby.com. The shows are not archived. It's not like you can listen at any time, unless you buy the CDs, but at least you can get GBB clearly on the net. You know, if it's a Thursday night and you know you're going to be in a place beyond the radio station signal, davesgoneby.com, you can still hear the show. And what you'll hear is me, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, humorist, journalist, and 98-show-old host. Every show trying to be a mix of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. I think it's safe to say we'll manage that once again this week. So all that's left is to give you our FCC inoculation. Don't worry, it's free, and there's no shortage. It just means telling you that Dave's Gone By is rated DGB-13. That is our equivalent of PG-13. So if you have impressionable children, hopefully they'll be impressed. And we will press forward with this 98th edition of Dave's Gone By, Ruttle and Hum, right after this.
Oh, honey, you turn me on. I'm the radio.
That's right, Joni. I turn you on all week long for a bunch of shows on WGBB, like Wednesday nights at 11 for psychic astrologer Joyce Keller, hosting radio's longest-running psychic advice show. She knew I'd say that. Thursday nights at 6, an hour before Dave's Gone By, it's WGBB Tonight with Larry Davidson. And then, right after my show, Smooth Jazz, The Instrumental Invasion with Mike Shamari at 8. Friday nights at 6, Bonnie D. Graham has advice about being single and singular on Long Island's dating. And things get wilder on the weekends with the Saturday Night Rock Block, starting at 7:30 with the Mr. Redman Music Show, up-and-coming Long Island rock bands, and a weekly countdown, followed by Mikey and Jimmy. It's a madhouse. It's a zoo. It's Mikey and Jimmy, Saturday nights at 9. And then, on Sundays at 7, Joe Salzone offers conservative politics with a sense of humor and an open mind on your world.
If you're driving into town with the dark clouds upon you,
dial in AM 1240 WGBB for Joyce Keller Wednesday nights at 11, Larry Davidson Thursdays at 6, yours truly at 7, Mike Shamari Thursdays at 8, Bonnie D. Graham Fridays at 6, The Rock Block Saturdays from 7:30 to 10, and Joe Salzone Sundays at 7.
Call me at the station, the lights are open.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. The first time most of us became aware of comedian Mario Cantone was in the late 1980s. He was hosting a children's show, of all things, on WOR Channel 9, called Steam Pipe Alley, and it was goofy with cartoons and contests and a notch hipper than the usual kiddie fare. Still, it was kind of weird seeing this very obvious screaming queen trying to rein in his sense of humor for the format. But Cantone survived the experience to hit the stand-up comedy circuit where he could be his full, outrageous self. He's also done Broadway. He took over for Nathan Lane in Love, Valor, Compassion, and last year he was in the Roundabout's acclaimed revival of Assassins. But now it comes full circle as Mario Cantone gets his own solo show on Broadway called Laugh Whore. According to the press release, the show will let Cantone offer, quote, his acerbic views on current events, celebrities, old and new, and what it was like growing up as Mario Cantone, unquote. A recent New York Times profile took Cantone back to his old working-class neighborhood. He visited the house where he grew up and remembers how tacky his mom's design skills were, saying, quote, there were purple rugs rambling through the house, and we had a couch that was 85 feet long. It was purple, gold, and white. It looked like a French provincial freight train, unquote. Laugh Whore is a court theater on West 48th Street, produced by Showtime and staged by Joe Mantello, who directed both Love Valor and Assassins. For tickets, call 212-239-6200, 239-6200. It opens this Sunday and runs through January 2nd. It is just one of a number of solo shows, most of them comedy/biographies, reaching Broadway this season. You've got Dame Edna coming back in a couple of weeks, Billy Crystal doing 700 Sundays, Whoopi Goldberg reviving the solo show that launched her career, and Sarah Jones bringing her acclaimed character comedy Bridge and Tunnel to Broadway in the spring. And let's not forget Eve Ensler, whose one-woman show The Good Body starts previews tomorrow. Ensler is best known, of course, for spending an entire evening talking just about vaginas, so I wonder how she's going to squeeze in the rest of a person into 90 minutes. If you're wondering, too, or you want to know what all these different monologues and more are going to be like, the best way is by subscribing to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. If it's on a New York stage, theater, opera, cabaret, dance, Performing Arts Insider has it. You know, the New York Times has been changing its art section around and discontinuing a lot of its listings and in-depth coverage of New York theater. Now, the only place you can find that information, a whole lot more, is in Performing Arts Insider. It's expensive, but worth it. And Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. So call 516-295-1511 or visit TotalTheater.com for subscription information. 516-295-1511. If you just want the current issue, call that number and get it for only $10, a third off the cover price. 516-295-1511 for Performing Arts Insider. Well, singer-songwriter Billy Joel has had his ups and downs the past few years, but as long as he stays on the passenger side, I guess he's fine. He just got married again to a 23-year-old, Kenahara, as Rabbi Saul Solomon would say. He got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame outside the Pantages Theater, and the musical, based on his music, Movin' Out, continues its hit run at the Richard Rogers Theater. The show celebrates its second anniversary this Sunday, October 24th, Critics, including this one, were mixed when the show came out. They didn't know why it had a Billy Joel impersonator doing his songs instead of just playing the originals, and they weren't sure audiences would take to an entire musical told in dance, even if the director is Twyla Tharp. But theatergoers proved them very wrong and went for the music, as well as the story of all these young people falling in and out of love and then surviving the Vietnam era. Movin' Out also furthered the idea that a musical made up of pop hits has a better shot at the box office than a brand new show. It's worked for Mamma Mia, for The Boy from Oz, and producers hope it'll work for Old Shook Up and other tuners coming down the pike. Will it, though? Or will audiences tire of Broadway becoming a glorified jukebox? Follow the trends and the news and reviews every month in Performing Arts Insider Magazine. Brought to you by Total Theater, who also bring you this theatrical segment, Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway with Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider. Wait, did he just say these are the Daves?
These are the Daves.
He did. Van Morrison is singing about Daves Gone By and the CDs we have of the show. Dozens of complete episodes available on cassette and CD.
$14 a piece for CDs, $12 for cassettes, and cheaper if you buy more. Go to davesgongby.com and get these precious presents today.
Hi, everybody. Happy you could stick around. This is Neil Innes talking to you on Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
So each of the knights went their separate ways. Sir Robin rode north through the dark forest of Ewing, accompanied by his favorite minstrels.
Bravely bold Sir Robin rode forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die. Oh, brave Sir Robin. He was not at all afraid to be killed in nasty ways. Brave, 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 brave Sir Robin. He was not in the least bit scared to be mashed into a pulp, for to have his eyes gouged out and his elbows broken, to have his kneecaps split and his body burned away, and his limbs all hacked and mangled, brave Sir Robin. His head smashed in and his heart cut out and his liver removed and his bowels unplugged and his nostrils raped and his bottom burnt off and his penis...
That's enough music for now, lads.
Eric, Idle. Is yeah. Probably the python that you've in some ways been most connected to, because now we get to the story of the Ruttles.
Indeed. I mean, well, Eric is, as I said, the Greta Garbo of the group.
He wants to write alone.
He wanted to be alone, yeah. But, in fact, we were doing Drury Lane, and he said to me, do you fancy doing some television? And I can remember this very clearly. I said, oh, Eric, I'm not very keen on television. You know, it's never, the cameras are never where you want them and things like that. And that was my experience working with the Bonzos. And he said, well, you can tell the cameras where to point. And I said, ah, this is different. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't got anyone to argue with. You know, so he was writing sketches and I was writing songs to put pictures to. And we'd sort of meet up every now and again and sort of say, well, what you got? And then we'd use postcards, put the titles of things on, and we'd put them up on a notice board and see which things sort of sparked off, and then look for anything that was missing or thought about anything that was missing, and then sort of, you know, put the shows together in that way.
And then it was Rutland Weekend Television.
It was called Rutland Weekend Television because in terms of the British Isles, it's divided into counties, and one of the smallest county in the British Isles is called Rutland. And it was so small, they tried to do away with it for a while, but the people refused. They had to give it back.
So it's like the Luxembourg of England.
Yes, that's it, exactly. You know, sort of, you know, you can do it in half an hour on a bike. You know. So the theory being, if Rutland had its own television station, it wouldn't have much money, and therefore all the programs would be very cheap. And so... this is why BBC Two really liked the idea of the programme, because it was a very cheap programme to make. You know, if we did the Rutland Weekend Television Armchair Theatre, you know, tonight, War and Peace, you know, we'd get a few old-age pensioners in a costume and march them up a country lane, you know, the retreat from Moscow.
Or better yet, the Batley Towns Women's Guild, they would do a really good job of it.
And see Moscow burn, you know, and a hand would come in and light a model, you know.
Right.
So that kind of thing. So it's in that climate, you know, I came up with the idea of doing a parody of Hard Day's Night, because it was shot in black and white, directed by Dick Lester.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, well, people will know the kind of thing from not only Hard Day's Night, but from Benny Hill. You know, when you put Speed It Up film, it tends to be funny.
Right.
You know? Not very, but...
But it's a little cuter. It's cute.
It's funny. A little, yes, yes. Yeah. And so I did this song, and we dressed up as the mop tops and ran around and did silly things. And Eric liked the idea because he'd written a sketch about a documentary maker who was so dull the camera ran away from him.
Right.
And we put those two things together. And then to spool on a bit, I think Saturday Night Live, Eric was hosting it, and... They showed this clip, and people, you know, sent in Beatle albums with Beatles crossed out and Ruttles put in, and I suddenly realized that this is, you know, right, because it was around the time that somebody was offering $20 million to put the Beatles together again
right.
for 20 minutes. And that was silly, you know, and so something sillier needed to be done, and it all kind of happened very quickly. Lorne Michaels, producer of Saturday Night Live, went downstairs at NBC and got the money to make a prime-time special, which ended up being called All You Need Is Cash, the, you know, the story of the Prefab Four, the Ruffles.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was a very loving and affectionate, you know, biography, if you like, of the Beatles, but done in a silly way. And George was very keen on doing this and arranged for to get footage from Apple, you know, that we could cut into the stuff that we were shooting. So it was a semi-official, if you like, certainly mm-hmm. as far as George was concerned. Of all the Beatles, I don't think, you know, Paul quite likes it, although, you know, I get on fine with him. You know, I've seen him, you know, through the tragic events of George's, you know, passing and whatnot.
Right.
And Paul's got no problem with the music, you know, but I think he was a little miffed with the way Eric played, you know, Sir Dirk McQuickley, you know.
The Paul character is kind of...
Yeah, a little harsher than I would bother doing, you know.
And I think you also mentioned that Paul was trying to promote his own, was it London Town at that point? So
that
any
was another
promotion,
thing. Yeah, that was another thing because I mean I had no idea about that, but of course he didn't know anything about the Ruttles either, other than you know there was something you know he'd okayed like the rest of them you know the use of footage for a film, but
and you had a very short time apparently to write. The sound or the songs. For
yes, I recall it. Was it? It was only you know 3 or 4 months, I think. But anyway, I said I didn't promise. You know, I said I'll try. You know, can we? You know, here's the money for the whole story. Can you do 20 more Ruttle songs? You know, woo. You know. But anyway, I thought the only way to do it is not sit down and listen to any Beatles stuff, but I'm trying to remember where I was. When I heard them, you know, and the hardest ones to write were the kind of genuine, nice little pop love songs.
Then you get on to
the more psychedelic stuff, you know, so you can have a bit of fun.
Then, you know. Yeah. But again, the weird thing is that they aren't, you know, straight spoofs or parodies in a sense. They're not being particularly, like, funny or zany in the songs. They're kind of like Beatles songs, and it's the sound of them that's as much the joke as any of the lyrics that you're singing.
Exactly. I mean, well, I was just going to say, you know, once I'd written the songs, and I realized that they were reasonably well-crafted songs that anybody could have done, you know. But when you listen to, you know, the genius of George Martin, and in fact the way that the Beatles were so inventive from one track to another, it's the production. If you listen carefully to the production, you know, you can make anything, you know, sound pretty much, you know, roughly. you know, and I think being an art student helps in that way, you know, because you're taught to look at other things. When you draw, you're taught to look at those things very hard. And if you, you know, often see art students in galleries, you know, copying old masters. And it's a good way of learning. So I feel as though I've been trained to sort of observe, you know, and in this case, you know, listen with the same kind of observation, if you like. And it was surprising, you know, because a lot of the earlier stuff, Rubber Soul and things like that, you can hear bongos in the background, which you're never aware of when you just heard it the first time. But if you listen really hard to Beatles production, you can hear all sorts of things.
There's one song that you wrote with John Lennon and Paul McCartney, only you didn't, but they say you did.
No, there's 14 of them that fall into this category now, which is a little alarming.
Wait, I thought it was just the one.
No, it's a convoluted story, but I think it's a band called Galaxy 500.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, I think they must have been. They did a kind of Ruffles tribute album called Ruttles Highway Revisited, and they did a version of Cheese and Onions.
Right, Cheese and Onions.
This has only come to light because the record company wants to re-release it as part of a sort of history of Galaxy 500. And when they went to the usual thing, they applied to Sony. Sony are now the publishers of all the original Beatles Northern songs. And
Michael Jackson owns what? The songs, and Sony owns
them? No, I think he sold them on to Sony.
Oh, he sold them. Sony owns everything. Okay. Yeah.
It used to be with ATV Music, and ATV who gave me a hard time. But anyway, there was a settlement where they kept the copyright, but I was supposed to have 50% of the royalties, and equal billing, if you like, with Lennon and McCartney.
On the whole album? I thought it was just on Cheese and Onions, but you're saying... On
the whole 14 tracks. The whole album. I mean, the thing was, my publishers at the time just buckled. Even though then I'd hired a musicologist for $5,500, you know, to sort of answer all the claims. You know, I mean, ATB were outrageous. It was Python-esque. You know, they were saying that, you know, Hold My Hand, a Ruttle song, was like back in the USSR, Something Else and Something Else, and Twist and Shout, which they didn't write, you know. These are supposed to be experts in the fields of music publishing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure George commiserated because he had the whole "My Sweet Lord, He's So Fine"
exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's funny enough. We were watching some Rushes one day at the Ruttle Sing, you know, and this song "With a Girl Like You" came on, and he turned around and grinned his wicked grin. And he said, "You know, that one's a bit close." I said, "Yeah, but it's not the same, is it?" He said, "I know it's not the same," he said, "but you can always try getting up in court with your guitar." So, I mean, where were we? Yes, so Sony now have told Galaxy 500 that they are not allowed to include my name as a writer's credit on Cheese and Onion. Which is amazing.
Which is the song you wrote. Which
is the song
Lennon McCartney did not write at all.
No.
Are you ever going to bother to fight it, or are you just, it's water under the
bridge?
I
haven't got time at the moment. It has been noted. But there are so many... It's almost like the comedy sequence, you know, when Ruttlecore, you know, falls to bits, you know, and people are running here and there with typewriters and stuffed bears. It's just too absurd.
Yeah, but
you know, these people have lost their minds. You know, either that or they have far too much cocaine.
Yeah, probably both. But then again, you know, you're like Justin Timberlake will record Cheese and Onions and won't get a cent, you know.
Yeah.
Become number one on the
well,
chart.
Absolutely. I mean, it might work in my favor. No, it won't work in my favor. Wake up, Neil. No. Of course it won't work in my favor. You know, because basically I haven't had a penny from that first album in publishing royalties, even, you know, we've made polite inquiries to sort of find out where it's gone. And these people hide.
Well, yeah.
And unless you've got, you know, sort of like a SWAT team going in there, you know, with sort of, you know, $1,000 a minute lawyers, you're not going to get any response from these people at all.
Well, it's like the movie.
So any young musicians out there, I urge you not to go in near any major record companies or publishing companies. You know, touch them. Don't go near.
A quick side question: what label are you on? Because you have, I assume, three albums out. Recollections. I have Recollections.
Yeah, no, these
three,
are,
but,
these are sort of like. Almost privately done.
Mm-hmm.
They it's a friend of mine called Danny Barber, who sort of like pestered EMI to put Bonzo stuff out on CD, make it available.
Right.
And he said, "Well, why don't we, you know, do these things?" Because I had at that point got control of all these songs, and so I remastered them, and he supplied me with kind of stuff that I'd forgotten and I hadn't got. And we managed to put together these three Recollections thing, and it is very much a limited edition thing. You know, we won't make any more. And there's Recollections 1, 2, and 3. It's just that I happen to have more of 3 at the moment than I had of the other two. The rest should go, I think, over the next 6 months.
They're like a limited edition. Did you re-record all the material, or are these?
No, these are. Songs that, you know, the rights have returned. They were made for television, for the BBC, in this book of records, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are demos I've made at home.
Because I know Protest Song opens Recollections 3, and I know that from the Monty Python Drury Lane collection where you did it there.
Yeah.
But it's not the same recording. This one is a live one that I guess you did for
Was done for the BBC, I think, in Wales, that one.
When was Innes Book of Records on? Now, that was a show you did in England, but we haven't seen it here.
No, we weren't. Hopefully it'll be out on DVD soon, because the people are muttering about it. 1978.
Oh, that far ago. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and 81, I think. Because I think 1980 we did the Hollywood Bowl around then.
Right. And did you? I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I mean, I'm very bad on dates.
Yeah, but you got married anyway. There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Boom, boom. Okay.
Thank you very much. Everyone have a cigar.
Yes, protest song. Yeah, but actually, I was going to say, we mentioned Hollywood Bowl. I also did it at the Hollywood Bowl, but it's not in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, because I remember the first night I was doing it, and I'm wearing dark glasses, and all of a sudden I'm aware that all the lights are on, and I can see everybody in the audience. And anyway, I plowed through it, and I came back and said, well, what else is all that about? All the lights going on. I said, yeah, sorry about that, won't happen again. Next night, same thing happens. Every night, all four nights, same thing happens. And afterwards, they come clean. They're using my song to get cutaways of the audience laughing for the rest of the film.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's show business.
That's show business.
This is a protest song. Ladies and gentlemen, I've suffered for my music. Now it's your turn. Prophets of doom can always find room in a world full of worry and fear. Tip cigarettes and chemistry sets and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. So I'm going back to my little old shack and drink me a bottle of wine. That was mise en bouteille before my birthday, and have me a fantastic time. Rain on a tin roof sounds like a drum. We're marching for freedom today. Yay! Turn on your headlights and sound your horn if people get in the way. Let me turn you on to the chromium swan on the nose of a long limousine. Even high for the day, it is something to say, but what the hell does it mean? I may be accused of being confused, but I'm average weight for my height. My philosophy, like color TV, is all there in black and white. Rain, rain on a tin, sounds like a drum. We're marching for freedom today. Yeah, turn on your headlights and sound your horn. To people, get in the way. Thank you.
easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor one of the segments on this show or the whole show. Just go to our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see the rate sheet or call 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By. Just want to take a couple of more minutes if you have them.
Yep, sure.
Because I'm having a fabulous time just talking with Neil Innes. Of would you say Renaissance man music? How do you describe yourself if you had to put it on a resume? You're a what?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm a perpetual art student. I'm certainly not show business. You know, anything I do in the songwriting or performing things is not for my glorification or advancement. You know, I like to sort of make sense of things or find fun in things and share it.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that's, you know, I've been next to, you know, people who have had, you know, mega fame and things like that, and it's something I just don't want. I like to be able to sort of go down to the local pub or something and talk to people. You know, so I want a real life. So I don't chase, you know, the kind of the star thing. And so in many ways, I'm a kind of an alternative to the mainstream, if you like, of entertainment.
But you are still, you are on tour now, in fact.
Yeah, I know. This is the dilemma. But, I mean, why, you know, I should be allowed to go out and sing my songs, you know, even if say somebody else has written them.
Are you involved with Spamalot?
Do you know what Spamalot is? No, I mean, over the years, I'm afraid Eric and I don't really have a relationship anymore. I don't know why. I mean, I suppose it's safe to tell you, but I mean, quite frankly, I mean, people living in Los Angeles go a bit balmy after a while. And I think Eric is not the same person. I mean, I think he's lived in L.A. too long.
So he's part of the culture there, and it's all about money and just, or what? Or?
Well, I don't know what it is. It's about, lots, yes, money, being seen, having your teeth whitened, and having tubes put up your bottom. I don't know.
Okay. Thanks for sharing.
Apparently they all do this sort of thing. I can't...
So Eric has confessed to you that he had colonics?
No, I don't know how you do it, but it's you just flush the whole system out or something. It sounds revolting to me.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It's sort of, you know, have you done it? You haven't done it yet? You know, so everybody rushes off and does it. It's the same, you know, it's the same kind of thing where, you know, like a lot of television. I think what I'm suffering from is media fatigue. You know, it's not that they're dumbing down. I think they are dumb.
But they always were a bit.
They always were. And you name any of those kind of shows, you know, so we got a great show for you tonight, and they want everyone to go, whoa! You know, and it's all disconnected. It's not connected to anything. It's not particularly funny. It's, you know,
right.
It's a state of mind, and I'm absolutely bored and rigid with it, you know. So, I mean, in fact, even if they asked me to go on some of those shows, I really would think twice about it. I'd say, well, no, it actually doesn't come within my remit to be part of that world. You know, I'm very happy to go and play little theatres where human beings, you know, sit and you can share an experience together, you know. And no one has to be cleverer than anyone else, and no one has to be richer than anywhere else or skinnier than anyone else, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'm part of the subculture of Western civilization. The ones that still believe in sort of like decency and honesty and fairness.
Even the good people don't believe in.
Yes, there's a few of us left.
No, well, yeah, and we're all voting for Kerry, but
it's an American joke.
Well, yeah.
Who knows? I mean, it strikes me that, you know, with your system there, you can't be a candidate unless you've got $250 million for a campaign.
True.
It's sort of, you know... It rules out a lot of people straight away, doesn't it? I mean, even if you were to reduce it, you know, to $1 million, if you've got $1 million, you could do it. It's still, you know, a lot of people wouldn't get a chance. It's a wonderfully, you know, complicated system, and I don't know enough about it to sort of, you know, to say. But I mean, it seems to me that anything that requires that amount of money, people are going to want to be paid back. the very last Bonzo record was called No Matter Who You Vote For, The Government Always Gets In.
That's, yeah.
And that's, you know, it comes from an old anarchist slogan or something. But I think a lot of Americans vote with their feet at polling day and don't turn up because they feel, you know, what's the point? It's all hoopla.
Well, certainly was last time. I mean, you know, half the country voted and it didn't count. So, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think there has, you know, what is the dangerous thing is if, when you've got silly media not doing anything, you know, it's, you know, people feel, you know, disenfranchised. It'd be interesting to see this time how many people come out and vote, even after the, you know, the revelations of last time around. Because I'm pretty sure that the rest of the world looks on to America, and especially the American public, with a great deal of sympathy for what happened. But I wonder how they will, you know, look at the American public if they vote him in again. You know?
I know.
Let's not go there. This is too difficult.
Well, let's go to happier things.
Well, I know. But at the worst, it's only going to be another 4 years, and he has to go, right?
And then, well, he has a brother who's running Florida. You know,
yeah.
There are more family members of this man.
Right.
How old are you?
I'm going to be 60 in December.
Congratulations. Have you, I won't say slowed down, but have you changed sort of your work style, your lifestyle, as you move towards, not senescence, but certainly eldership?
I find that as I'm approaching, you know, the 60s once again, just in songwriting, I think I take more care over the words now. When I was younger, I used to think, oh, that's brilliant, without even questioning it, you know? And I look back at some of the things and, oh, God, if I'd worked harder on that, that could have been better, you know? So I think, like, as you grow older, you get a little more, you know, cautious, and you probably want to make things to be sure they're, you know, right. I don't know. Yes, I think you lose all that kind of impetuousness, you know, of youth. I don't see anything I miss, really. If I look around, it all feels pretty much the same. I'm in very good health.
Yeah.
But the only thing, the only shock really is, you know, you go by a mirror and you go, ah, who's that? You know, and you realize it's you. But otherwise, you know, if you don't look in mirrors, you feel pretty much the same.
Well, Neil Innes, it has been an absolute pleasure and a thrill to be talking with you on Dave's Gone By. I want to remind everybody to please, please go see him playing live on tour all around the East Coast. Neil Innes, what can I say? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Quiznos of Ulit is tasty and yummy. Delicious flatbreads that ease down your tummy. Sandwiches piled up on artisan bread. Pass by that Subway's, eat Quiznos instead. Turkey and roast beef and tuna and ham. Quiznos of Ulit's the place where they am. Ken is the bald guy who serves all the meals. If you're a student, there's all kinds of deals. When I'm hungry, when I'm thirsty, when I'm really spaced. To Quiznos on Broadway in Hewlett I go to toastily feed my face. Quiznos of Hewlett, toasty tasty.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Thursday, October 21st, 2004. It's time for the news gone by, a look at events of the past week from the perspective that's on Ritalin and Rutlin. Just a couple of stories this week. First of all, the obituary of Malcolm Summers, perhaps the closest eyewitness to the assassination of President Kennedy. Summers died on October 8th of a heart ailment. He was 80 years old. Conspiracy! No, just kidding. Hey, how's this for courage in the face of danger? A female clerk foiled a potential bank robbery in Zagreb last week. The masked thief entered the bank in broad daylight and pointed a real gun at the employee. But since she was behind bulletproof glass, she just laughed at him. She called her boss, told him it was a holdup, and she asked the burglar to stick around while she called the police.
The robber did not. He just fled, humiliated. We really shouldn't be surprised at this turn of events. After all, how many times in history has a man pointed his weapon at a woman and warned, "This could hurt you," only to be laughed at and told, "As if." Unfortunately, we don't have time for our cherished bad pun of the week this week on the News Gone By, but we do have room for our dumb headline of the week. I'm very excited. This one comes from Reuters. Dumb headline of the week: undecided voters, big mystery in presidential race. Let's all mull over that one, shall we? They're undecided, so we don't know whom they're going to vote for. I'm not saying the headline is incorrect. It's just ever so slightly bleeding obvious. On the other hand, some headlines nail it. Nothing else to say. Like this one from the Associated Press. It reads, "Police say woman stabbed husband's penis." Actually, that's not all there is to say. We kind of want to know more about that one, don't we? Okay, in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, a woman stabbed her husband's winky with a knife after accusing him of being a violent drunk. The victim, who was intoxicated, required 7 stitches, but the injury was not life-threatening. In fact, he revoked a complaint against his wife when relatives intervened and helped the couple reconcile. The guy did balk at the idea of taking the missus on a romantic second honeymoon, however. After all, he said, what would we do? It's a little early for Halloween, but here's a macabre story from Santa Fe, New Mexico. A colony of prairie dogs has been wreaking havoc by wandering through historic cemeteries and digging up all the bones. Prairie dogs are not dogs, by the way. They're more like beavers or woodchucks, which is why they leave giant dug-up mounds everywhere they go. In this case, piles of dirt mixed with human remains. A cemetery historian told Reuters, quote, "It's a catastrophe. I would love to take them out one by one, but you can't fire a rifle in city limits," unquote. A spokesman for the prairie dogs countered, "Hey, we can't help it. You have your Santa Fe Steakhouse, we have ours." A fun story from Johannesburg, South Africa, where 800 college students tried to set the record for the world's largest pillow fight. The frenzied battle lasted 1 minute on the grounds of Witwatersrand University. According to AFP News, as a rock band played in the background, foam and feathers filled the air as people basically pummeled each other. It was not a record, by the way, and not even close to the biggest pillow combat ever. That was right in our own backyard, Rochester University in New York, with 2,400 pillow fighters. Or even the giant orgy last year at Harvey Fierstein's house on Fire Island. Oh, sorry, that was my mistake. It was 2,400 pillow biters. Sorry. And finally, in health news, do not turn it up to 11. If you thought loud rock music was just bad for your hearing, listen to this report. From the medical journal Thorax, they've now documented 4 different cases of people whose lungs collapsed when they stood too close to speakers that were blasting heavy metal. Apparently, the booming frequency of a bass, you know, the one that tends to re-regulate your heartbeat, well, it can also cause a small rupture in your lungs that lets air rush in. Now, this can heal by itself, but severe cases sometimes need a chest tube to push out the painful air. Scarier still, scientists have confirmed what I've suspected for years. Even short-term exposure to the music of Kenny G can cause nausea and vomiting. And that's the News Gone By for October 21st, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and prairie dog droppings to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. You can also email me, davesgoneby@aol.com. We reserve the right to read your comments on the air, name withheld upon request. So, send me your opinions, your thoughts, your suggestions, but please, no collapsed lungs. Save those for the Oxygen Network. Back after this.
And that was news. Yes, that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
Hey, can I get these things copied?
Yeah, dude, 15 cents a page, plus ink, labor, parts.
Parts? Yeah, I need that of heavy stock, bound and laminated.
Whoa, we don't do that.
All right, just copies then.
No problemo, take a week or two.
What? Give me my copies back.
Just a minute, man.
That's it! Minuteman! I should have gone to Hewlett Minuteman Press. They do everything. Copying, shipping, gifts, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett.
Ain't that next to Fortunoff?
Out of my way, hippie. I'm off to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Copy on, dude.
Welcome back to the final moments of Dave's Gone By on this October 21st. Keep listening to WGBB later on for my other Thursday night program, Filler Up. It's mostly music. I get to play DJ, which is a thrill for me and something I don't have enough time to do on this program. So stay tuned for Mike Shamari's Instrumental Invasion at 8, and then I'll be back at 9 with Filler Up. And I am indeed filled up with gratitude to my great guest, Neil Innes. This being the third and final segment of my chat with this wunderkind of comic music. We'll close the show with one more Innes tune, but you can hear tons of them on his website, neilinnes.org. It's really a treasure. Neil Innes, neilinnes.org. There are dozens of songs downloadable, free to listen to. He's got video clips going back to Python and Rutland Weekend Television and the George Harrison videos. I mean, I could do a World Weird Web segment just on neilinnes.org. It is that loaded with goodies. And speaking of loaded with goodies, I hope most of you have felt that way about Dave's Gone By. We've done 98 of these things by now, going all the way back to October 6, 2002, which means we've had 2 years of special guests, songs, monologues, sketches, medleys, serious bits, and silly vignettes. It's really something to celebrate, and that's what I'm going to do. 2 weeks from now, Thursday, November 4th, 2004, barring an act of God, Mammon, or the FCC, that will be our 100th episode. We'll have highlights, of course, from the roughly 120 hours of programming we've done. Some of the episodes ran 90 minutes. And I think you'll get a kick out of hearing the parade of Dave's Gone By over the past 25 months. I don't hear much difference between the early shows and now. I mean, it's not like I'm Johnny Carson looking back 25 years earlier to see how young I was. But maybe some patterns will emerge. Maybe a bit more comfort with the medium. Maybe not. I still feel I could do the very first episode all over again, almost exactly the same. Which is kind of a tragedy when you don't mature at all. But no, I love this show. And I'm proud of pretty much everything I've done. It's all in fun, it's all good, and it's all here, Thursday nights at 7 on WGBB. And hey, as long as you're listening to this radio station, don't forget the other programs throughout the week that you might want to favor with your attention. We begin with Wednesdays, 11 to midnight. It's Joyce Keller, longest-running radio call-in psychic, offering advice on your love life and syncing up your solar system. Then on Thursdays at 6, an hour before me, it's WGBB Tonight with Larry Davidson. He's always interviewing interesting and sometimes famous people. And then right after me, Thursdays, Mike Shamari at 8 o'clock, an hour of smooth jazz and men doing interesting things with their horns. 9 o'clock, it's Fill Up. And then Friday night, Long Island's Dating. Bonnie D. Graham hosts this long-running show for singles, Friday nights at 6. And then get ready to rock and roll. I can't believe I just said that. Get ready to rock and roll with the Saturday Night Rock Block, Saturdays 7:30 to 10. It starts with Mr. Redman and his independent bands, and continues at 9 with the Mikey and Jimmy Show. I'm not sure if Mikey is still part of the Mikey and Jimmy Show, but I feel like a fool for calling it the and Jimmy Show, so for now we'll stick with the old title for zany comedy and hard rock, 9 p.m. Saturdays, the blank and Jimmy Show. And if you've been weighing two presidential candidates and drawing a blank, tune in to Your World with Joe Salzone. Sunday nights at 7, political talk from a conservative perspective, but one that tries to keep a true devil's advocate open mind about the issues. Joe is our news director here, so check him out Sunday nights at 7, and also, now through the big vote, Monday nights, doing kind of an election countdown. And WGBB will have a special program on the night of the elections, Tuesday, November 2nd. Joe will be running things all night long once the tallies come in, and we'll be on the air from, I think, 6 p.m. till 6 in the morning. And I will be here. I'll be part of the election team coverage after midnight, which kind of shows you the shoddy level of expertise Joe is going for in his reportage. But no, I'm the token liberal, I guess. But we'll all make a big effort to be objective. November 2nd, election coverage all night long on WGBB, AM 1240. And I really recommend you start tuning in around 3 or 4 in the morning. That's when we will be so punch drunk and out of it, objectivity is going to sail out the window. I mean, unless we have another disaster like last year, and we're all wired and just glued to the computers and the feeds for breaking news. But either way, it's going to be a weird night. But hey, find the night on this radio station that isn't. And hopefully next Thursday night, 7 p.m., will be just as weird and fun and offbeat. That is the reason I do Dave's Gone By, which, I remind you, is brought to you by Total Theater, publishers of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Email paipress@aol.com for subscription information, paipress. And bring your appetite to Quiznos of Hewlett for tasty, toasty soups and sandwiches. And if you buy one sandwich, you can duplicate it at Hewlett Minuteman Press and hand out copies of the sandwich to all your friends. They're both on Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, both offering 10% discounts to Dave's Gone By listeners. Click their links on my homepage, davesgoneby.com. I want to thank my wife, Joyce, for her love and care and affection, which I return tenfold. I want to thank Patty Pichow for all her help setting up the Neil Innes interview. And I want to thank you for listening, for writing in with your suggestions, and for being a silent partner, and a crucial one, on this radio show. Episode number 99, next Thursday, October 28th, 7 p.m. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Let's all give it up for Neil Innes, and gone by.
I hated my first cigarette. I asked you, how dumb can you get? I thought I was so nonchalant, but now it's the last thing I want. I'm chewing my nails, I'm having all kinds of withdrawal symptoms. If only I'd never begun, why wasn't I told when I was young? Give it up, 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 easier said than done. Give it up, give it up, kicking a habit ain't fun. I thought I was smart, I thought I was king of the castle, crazy. If only I'd never begun, why wasn't I told when I was young? Give it up, 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 give it up. Got to give it up, set my body free. Got to give it up because this stuff is killing me. Killing me. I'm finding it hard. This habit I'm kicking is struggling back. The stupidest thing I've ever done. Why wasn't I told when I was young? Give it up, give it up. Give it up, give it up. Give it up, give it up. Easier said than done. Give it up, give it up. Making a habit ain't fun. Give it up, give it up.
give it up, give it up. Give it up, give it up. Easier said than done. Give it up, give it up. Getting a habit ain't fun. I hated my first cigarette. I ask you, how dumb can you get? I thought I was so nonchalant. Now it's the last thing I want.